Welcome to That's History, our regular feature where we look at current events and find echoes, parallels, and lessons from the past. I'm Chris Cetullo, joined as always by Jonathan Zimmerman, professor of history at New York University. Welcome, Jonathan.
Good to be here as always.
All right, so here's the setup, Jonathan. You got a tough guy hero announcing that she has become a woman. Media outlets swoon, run glamorous pictures, thousands of admirers send in their congratulations. We're talking about Caitlyn Jenner this summer, right?
No, we're not, actually. We're talking about Christine Jorgensen in 1952. Everything that you just described with respect to Caitlyn Jenner, formerly Bruce Jenner, applies to a precursor that nobody thinks about very much anymore, which was George Jorgensen becoming Christine Jorgensen.
Well, what was the tale there? Who was George Jorgensen and what was the sequence?
Well, George Jorgensen was a member of the U.S. military, and in late 1952, the New York Daily News ran a huge 72-point headline saying, "Ex-GI becomes blonde beauty," showing a picture of what looked like a very attractive woman who was the former George Jorgensen, now Christine. And the story told the story of this person going to Denmark and receiving a sex change.
That also brings up the fact that one of the great disappearing jobs in America, one of the best jobs, is writing headlines for a tabloid newspaper.
Oh, but absolutely.
So the deal here was sort of the story was former war hero becomes woman, or is that, was that
precisely?
What,
yeah. I mean, a he-man, to use the expression of the time, became a very feminine female. And let's remember that Caitlyn Jenner was Bruce Jenner, and Bruce Jenner was a decathlete. Bruce Jenner was one of the ultimate embodiments of a certain kind of a rugged American masculinity.
On the Wheaties box.
Exactly.
He was national hero after the Montreal Olympics.
Now, it turns out, ironically, that George Jorgensen actually wasn't a combat soldier, that he spent most of the war behind a desk in Fort Dix over in Jersey as a clerk. Mm-hmm. But to make this contrast work, the headline writers, and indeed the story writers, had to make him a military man, that is, a combat soldier.
So we're talking about the 1950s, the so-called decade of conformity, the man in the gray flannel suit, McCarthy, or all that. Yet the general public reaction to Christine Jorgensen was pretty accepting and positive.
Yes, the public was for a while extremely accepting and fascinated. This is 1952 and the Korean War is heating up. We've got the polio vaccine. But for several months, the Christine Jorgensen story was the top media story in the United States. Now, why? Why were they so fascinated? I would argue that one reason was that Christine Jorgensen, the way she presented herself, and most of all in the way that the media presented her, accorded very closely to the era's dominant views of femininity. That is, she went from a he-man to a very female woman. And the interviews and the stories are, there are questions like, do you wear a nightie? Mm-hmm. And, you know, how do you hold a cigarette? And do you prefer dance to baseball?
And she had a boyfriend who described meeting her, like, because she saw her cross the street and she was a knockout.
And
right?
Exactly. That was precisely the term that was used. Interestingly, he claimed that he didn't know about, let's say, her past history until the Daily News reported it. And speaking of tolerance, when he's confronted with this, he says, you know, as far as I'm concerned, she was a girl when I met her and she's a girl now.
But the situation turns. What happened?
It absolutely did. What happened was a few months later, other news organizations, that is not the Daily News, started to investigate further, and they found out a few things that hadn't been reported. The first one, and the most important one to readers, was that Christine Jorgensen had not had a full surgical transformation from male to female. In other words, she still had male genitalia, which, by the way, according to reports, Caitlyn Jenner does currently as well. And so then the report changed very quickly from heroin to fake. This isn't actually a real woman. This is a fake woman, some people said, a castrated male, and so on. And then very quickly she became the butt of jokes.
So then what is, in the end, happens to Christine Jorgensen? Does she fade away from public view? I mean, what's the second act after you have this chaotic first act?
What she became was she became a kind of circus show. She did cabaret in Las Vegas, and she played kind of ridiculous and campy roles, including Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman, yes. Roles, again, playing on the question of femininity. that's how she supported herself for many years.
This is That's History, and we're talking with Jonathan Zimmerman of New York University about a previous transgender sensation that is now echoed in the case of Caitlyn Jenner. What does the tale of Christine Jorgensen portend, if anything, for what happens next? What's the second act for Caitlyn Jenner after all this hubbub right now?
As you know, Chris, on That's History, I always resist predicting the future. But since you asked, you know, I think that we should point out that unlike Christine Jorgensen, who became a sideshow and really a circus act, Caitlyn Jenner has her own show. It's on E! Channel, and it's called appropriately I Am Kate. It's all about her. I think that in some ways that speaks perhaps to a greater level of tolerance, but I think the precedent should make us also question how long that will last. In Christine Jorgensen's time, it didn't last very long. And what if Caitlyn Jenner turns out not to accord with or abide by our dominant notions of femininity? What if she continues, let's say, to have a body that's partially male? What if she turns out to be a kind of intersex figure that, again, doesn't match what we think either a woman or man should be? Will all the people congratulating her, and I should say themselves, about their tolerance and their open-mindedness remain as open-minded if that comes to pass? I think we're going to find out.
That's Jonathan Zimmerman, and this has been the latest installment of That's History. Thanks very much, Jonathan.
Thanks. It was fun.